The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bull Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Good afternoon. This is Donna Anselmo, and you are listening to Bold Talk Business Radio on AM 1060 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. This is Donna Anselmo, and I'm really happy to be with you today. We have a great show planned for this half hour. We have Dr. Diane Kramer on the line, who we're going to welcome in just a moment. We've got Pete Anselmo in the studio, and thanks to Vince Young for running our board today. We're going to be talking about a really important topic that we talk about frequently, actually every week, one way or another, on Bold Talk Business Radio, which is about how to succeed. And the way that we succeed is by pulling together all the various aspects of what's important to success, particularly for a business owner and business professional. And Dr. Diane, thanks for being with us today. We're going to get into a conversation about four key quadrants for success, which are emotional intelligence, creative productivity, planning, strategic thinking and decision making, and also being able to develop good relationships in your life and work, and great influencing skills so that you build those relationships. So Dr. Diane Kramer, you are a clinical psychologist, college professor, co-founder of the Bold Heart e-learning program, which is just about to launch, and you've accomplished so many things in your life, from writing a book to getting $1 million grant funding to help entrepreneurs, to running a successful marriage counseling practice, and even doing a tremendous job of optimizing your website, which, you know, to some people in the scheme of things, they may not see why that's such an important success skill as well. So how do you keep that all together for yourself? And what do you see as the key drivers of success?
Okay. Well, first of all, I need to qualify, because what we're talking about is success and satisfaction, because there are many people who drive themselves to success and to a short grave or many illnesses. And divorce. So we're talking about success and satisfaction, because you can get success without having that inner feeling of contentedness or peace or whatever people are, or love, or whatever people are striving for.
Right. And I think, Diane, how are you? Peter here.
I
wanted to point out the fact that we're not just focused on wealth here, or the accumulation of wealth, that success takes many different forms, and that's kind of part of the success and satisfaction.
I'm glad you clarified that, Diane, because generally when I start Bold Talk Business Radio, I tell our listeners that this is the show where we bring you insights, strategies, tips, and tools for your success and satisfaction in your life and your work, because there's such a great crossover and such a serious crossover between the personal attributes of ourselves that we bring to our daily living and our home life, and the same attributes of self carry along with us into the workplace.
Right.
So Dr. Kramer, Diane Kramer, you're based on Long Island in Huntington,
right,
New York, for our listeners who would like to look you up. What I want to ask you first about is, can you talk a little bit about why people need to focus on their own emotional intelligence? What does that mean, and how can you develop that skill?
Good, great question. Emotional intelligence, what is it? It's the ability to, well, it's made up of a number of components. Being able to notice your emotions, because they'll often drive actions that drive us out of control or that are unproductive. Notice your emotions, right? The ability to step back from them, know what you're feeling and why, and then use the feeling as almost like a communication sign to yourself. Okay, what's the most useful way to go ahead, given I have this feeling? Is it a belief I need to change? Is it an interaction I need to change with another person? What do I need to do to take advantage of the feeling rather than being driven by the feeling into overreacting or having a stress reaction?
And that's a great comment, and it makes me think about the fact that the feeling itself, when we're caught up, we get, say, frustrated on a job, things are not going well, a job applicant didn't show up or didn't turn out to be the right candidate for us, an employee maybe made a mistake again, and so we don't understand why these bad things happen, and we kind of ratchet up emotionally and get irritated, frustrated, angry, disillusioned, distracted by that. So when we get into that type of a feeling of, something that's getting in the way of us being our best selves, number one, how do we respond to that? Number two, I think I just want to add that feeling is like telling us something. The feeling is a signal. It's a part of feedback about what's going on in our lives. So what can you share with us about looking at your feelings and taking the information from them?
Okay. Well, number one, those feelings are driven by a stress reaction. Stress is caused by some kind of threat, like I'm going to be delayed, not meet my deadline. That's a threat for a lot of business people. So we start with threat in some way or another, right? So the more that the threat revolves around something that is out of your control and yet important to you, the more your negative emotions ratchet up. They increase, which creates changes in your thoughts, your feelings, the chemistry in your body, your organs, how you react. So now you're reacting out to a threat, which is not really useful because that whole system was developed in lower animals to protect them from predators. So we're reacting as if these lions are charging us when it's somebody who's late for an appointment with us. So the threat reaction causes us to get emotionally out of control. And then if we just react, wow, do we cause a mess, a vicious cycle, all kinds of problems.
So Diane Kramer, to bring a person back from the brink, what are some of the things we can do? I mean, the first thing that occurs to me is like take a deep breath. But what would you suggest?
Relax. First, you have to notice that you're feeling this. Remember, the feeling is useful. It's just energy. Relax, focus on yourself, and just let it go, dissolve into the floor, into the center of the earth. Take a deep breath and let the feeling go, dissolve into the floor. Just let it go. It's not that the feeling isn't useful. It's the reaction, the immediate reaction that's not useful.
You know what?
Except if somebody's coming at you.
Yeah, and what I think about in that moment is that if the feeling doesn't serve me well and doesn't get me what I want, I really don't need that feeling. I need a different feeling. So I would want to say, well, you know, what do I need in this moment to move forward? What do I want to have instead? How do I want to feel differently?
Well, that's one strategy. I mean, there are many strategies mm-hmm. that you can use for that, including, wait a minute, am I being me based upon my guiding principles and beliefs right now? Is this who I want to be, how I want to react? That'll slow you, respond. That'll slow you down. Taking deep breaths, doing yoga, dancing, meditating, being mindful, stepping out of the movie, humor. There are many, 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 many ways of cutting that emotional reaction so you can kind of calm down and figure out, well, okay, that was the signal. How can I make it useful? How could I make it useful? So changing to what feeling you do want is a way, but I could think of like five different situations in where that wouldn't be useful. You need many different strategies.
Sure.
But the basic one is, what is this feeling saying, and how can I make it or use it in a useful way in this situation? So you may say, oh, that feeling came from my childhood. Fling it over my head and forget about it. right? Or, you know, the picture, the movie from my childhood. Or you could say, that feeling is telling me that underneath I've got fear. So soothe myself. Remember, I can't control what's out of my control. And make a decision and move forward. I mean, there's many, 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 many. I'm sorry I can't give you one answer.
Yeah. Well, it's a complicated subject, and we can't solve everybody's life and change everyone's life in one conversation, but we can give them some insight to at least make people understand that it's easy to become aware as long as you make an effort to start noticing your feelings, and the more aware you become of those feelings, the better you're going to be able to control them. You are listening to AM 1060 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. This is Donna Anselmo, host of Bold Talk Business Radio, co-host with Pete Anselmo, who's here in the studio with me. And we're speaking with Dr. Diane Kramer, clinical psychologist, Professor Emeritus. And we're talking about how to be successful in and have great satisfaction in your life and your work. One of the things I was thinking about, Dr. Kramer, as you were talking about the strategies for soothing yourself and kind of talking yourself down from ratcheted up emotions, made me think about a woman I know who would make sales phone calls, and she was nervous about having to make sales phone calls. She was afraid of being rejected. She wasn't sure she was going to make the sale, and she wasn't sure how she was going to feel if she didn't make the sale. Before she would get on the telephone to make sales phone calls, she would jump on a trampoline. She kept a mini trampoline in her office. She would jump up and down to get her energy going, get her endorphins flowing, so that she would feel really good and also sound very energetic on the phone when she called up and spoke to prospects about a book she wanted to sell. And that actually was Cindy Cashman, and she wrote the book What Men Know About Women, and it was a very, very interesting sales story. But
well, I certainly didn't know anything about
it. No, it was actually it was 128 blank pages, and she sold over 1 million copies, so it was pretty cool. I heard her speak at a conference once, and she was fantastic. So
I want to write one of those.
Yeah, I think we can. But it doesn't take too much time, actually. All you have to do is design a good cover. So that brings me, though, to think about planning. So she planned. She planned for how she was going to make her calls. And planning is a key part of success, too. And when you plan well, you're going to have better results and feel more satisfied. So, Dr. Kramer, what do you recommend? You've had a lot of experience in guiding entrepreneurs and business leaders. What do you recommend to them in terms of an overall approach to planning for projects and planning for success?
Well, the number one is to create the outcome, create your goal, create your vision, create in your mind mentally where you want to end up. So then then you think about a line between where you are now, that picture out there, or that target of where you want to end up. You anchor to that target, you keep it in mind, and then you figure out what steps do I need to take to get there. And you write an action plan, and you get going.
So you start with the goal. So you define the goal for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And realistically, you want to define a goal that's somewhat within your own control.
Right.
So you could say, I want to become a great salesperson. So I can, and my evidence is I close, 4 out of 5. Mm-hmm. But you can't say, I want 5 people to call me up and sign up.
Right.
In
it's got to be realistic.
That's out of your control.
Well, in a way, it's out of your control to put something out into the ether and say, well, I'm going to get 5 people to sign up. But the part of it that is in your control is to figure out how you make that happen.
Okay.
And right?
I mean, that's fair enough.
Yeah. And then you have to know, for instance, you've got to, in order to close 5 sales, you may have to make 100 phone calls, but it'll depend on the industry that you're in.
Right.
I know another thing that's really important, and with full disclosure to our listeners, Dr. Diane Kramer and I work very closely together on a number of projects, and I, you know a lot about your work, and you've taught me so much about my work. And so I want to share another strategy that you taught me, which was to eliminate overwhelm, which, you know, we take on, we have a big goal, we want to accomplish so much, and then it takes a lot to do it. And so many entrepreneurs work solo or just with very small teams that it's easy to get overwhelmed. So your response to that and what you've taught me is that you have to chunk it down. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, a really good strategy for not getting overwhelmed is to think of, here's my goal out there, here's where I am. So now you start thinking about all the things that need to be done, and that overwhelms people. But if you write it all down, just brainstorm it, throw it all in a piece of paper, and then take that piece of paper and order those items into like an action plan. What do I have to do first, by what date, second by what date, third by what date? You start to create order, and then you only focus on the first step. So you've got your action plan. You don't feel overwhelmed because you know everything is now accounted for as much as you can. It's down on paper with dates for when it's due. And then you just focus on the first step. And that first step, you imagine its own little goal. What's my goal? You know, my goal is finishing the first chapter of the book. Oh, wow, I give myself a reward. Good job for finishing that. And then you go to the next chapter. What's my goal here? Finishing the second chapter. Good job. You know, and you make yourself feel good. So you break everything down into little tiny steps, as small as you want, that work, and you just keep moving forward. The smaller the step, the easier it is to accomplish.
That is wonderful advice. It makes me think back to writing my own book, Marketing Demystified, which you can find. yes, and can be found in Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, on the internet. It's a great marketing resource for you. But when I sat down to write a 380-page book, it did seem very overwhelming. And mm-hmm. I started by making an outline at the recommendation of my publisher at McGraw-Hill, and had to start with what's this book going to be about, and kind of chunk it down into an outline, and from the outline we created the chapters. And another thing that was helpful to me in the planning of the book was not only to think about, okay, I'm going to do it one chapter at a time, but I really had to think about who were going to be the resources that could help me, because you can't, I don't know, some people obviously write books on their own, particularly with fiction, but sometimes when you're writing a how-to book in marketing, you have to find all the experts that can help you and look for the resources. And I think that really will inform your planning and help you to execute.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say a couple of other things that you want to do is build a schedule and create some tools and assessments. I happen to like to use a spreadsheet where I put all the milestones, that all the markers I have to make down on a sheet. And I do what you mentioned earlier. I set a date, you know, when it has to be done. And I do a periodic status check on that to see how I'm doing. And then the other part of it is time management. What do you say about time management, Diane?
Well, time management is really a misnomer. It's really choice management. You have to choose how to fill each period of your day, right, of your week. So when people don't think about it, like, oh, I'm poor at time management, that means you're not choosing you're not being responsible to choose those activities that at the end of the week will reach the end of the week's goal, or the end of the day will reach the end of the day's goal. So, I mean, you know, when I work with people, coach them or do therapy, and they're complaining about that particular problem, I have them make calendars and schedules, and even schedule in, am I allowed to say this on the radio? I have one couple that's scheduling in sex time because they have a sexual problem with each other.
Yes, you can say that on the radio.
But exercise time, even meditation time, even leisure time, too, time for family. If you put it in a schedule, right, then you keep yourself to the schedule. Now, some people have a lot of trouble with keeping to their own schedule. As soon as they put it down on paper, it's like their mother telling them what to do. So they defeat themselves. And then they have to work on themselves and say, wait a minute, did I choose this? Or is somebody else from the outside choosing this, you know, this choice of how I'm going to use my time? Do I really want my goal? Or am I afraid? Is fear blocking me? Or is some resistance to maybe authority, or I'm oppositional to my mate, or whatever it is that blocking me? I got to unblock. I got to get rid of that self-defeating habit pattern.
And that comes back to building awareness, and what we were talking about at the start of the program is noticing your feelings, noticing where you're at in the moment, and getting present with that enough to be able to practice ways to shift yourself out of a negative thought pattern, which influences your emotions.
As we are talking, I just got an email. Mindful.com is one of the magazines I read, and their subject line is how to curb self-defeating patterns or habits.
Well, look that up. We've got under 3 minutes left on this call. This is Donna Anselmo on Bold Talk Business Radio, your show host, co-hosted with Pete Anselmo. We're listening to Dr. Diane Kramer. We said we were also going to talk in this segment about relationships, building win-win skills. So what's a top tip you would give to people about building a good relationship, Dr. Kramer? Top tip.
First of all, think about it. If you're doing a project or you're in a work group with somebody, you're a boss, there's a we that's implied there, right? It's not just an I. There's a we. So you need to be very, 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 very aware of the other person's as well as yourself, understanding that everyone is different and they're not going to have your perspective on things. And so the key to really good collaboration is letting each person have their say, their perspective, and then keep working it through, talking, questioning, getting everyone to finally agree. I just discovered one of my cousins saw her at a wedding yesterday. She is a cancer researcher. I said, well, okay, how do you choose which project to work on? She said, well, all levels of the company, she's with Pfizer or some subsidiary, everybody, like from the top guy down, we sit around a big table and we each say what the next cancer research project should be. And then somebody brings up the evidence and somebody gives why it should be this rather than that. And by the end of the day, we've worked through to a solution. Everyone is respected there. Everyone's point of view is listened to. It's more collaboration than politics.
Well, we're going to have to leave it at that. This is Donna Anselmo at Bold Talk Business Radio, thanking Dr. Kramer. Pete Anselmo has one last comment for today.
Yeah, I just want to say that's especially important attribute for business owners, to allow people that work for you to have that kind of input.
And on that note, we're going to invite you to come back to Bold Talk Business Radio next week. Join us for another discussion of success and satisfaction. This is Donna Anselmo. Tune in to 1060 WMEL next Tuesday at 1 o'clock for Bold Talk Business Radio. We are looking forward to hearing from you.